When Samuel Dean founded his dairy company in a small town in Illinois almost 100 years ago in 1925, it was a time in America when milkmen still delivered pints every second day to people's homes, and it was a time when people under the age of 18 would dutifully drink 3 glasses of milk a day. But today, almost 100 years later, things are quite different. They're quite different for those of us who enjoy milk, and they're especially different for the Dean Dairy. Now, the Dean Dairy is the largest dairy in the United States of America. They have subsidiaries like True Moo and Valley Hill and many others that were the leading supplier of dairy products here in this country for many a decade. But 2 weeks ago, something very sad happened. And this almost 100-year-old company that supplied milk to so many different households under so many different titles for countless years was forced to file for bankruptcy. It was a really sad day for this company and a really sad day for the dairy industry. So why did this happen? Well, there's one main reason why this happened. Let's take 20 years ago. The year is 1999. It's almost the new millennium. It's 20 years ago, and there are roughly, give or take, the same amount of people living in the United States of America. And 20 years ago, there were roughly the same amount of people drinking milk as there are today. Whether they drank it by the glass or they put it in their cereal, 20 years ago, the numbers are pretty much the same. But one significant change has happened in the last 20 years for the dairy industry. You see, 20 years ago, if I wanted to buy milk for my cereal, I had, as I saw it, 3 simple options. Whole milk, 2%, and skim. And occasionally, if my father came to visit, I bought buttermilk. But that was it. 20 years ago, for those that drank milk, those were our options. But today, inside ShopRite, Stop and Shop, Aldi, forgetting even Whole Foods, the following are options on the shelf: oat milk, almond milk, hemp milk, rice milk, kefir, soy milk, cashew milk, coconut milk, 1%, 2%, 3%, 0.5%, skim, whole, lactate, and that was just in one eye shot. We have grown from 3 varieties to almost 23 varieties. And the reason why this milk company has sadly gone out of business is because the same amount of people are drinking milk, but there are so many more options for them to drink from than ever before. Now, this is the reality of the world that we live in today. It's painful at times, especially if you're part of the dairy industry, but it's something that we have to accept. That the world changes, habits change, society changes, technology changes, lifestyle changes. HBO, I am sure, hates the concept of Netflix because Netflix has absolutely interrupted the way that we watch movies at home. And I'm sure that AMC Cinemas hates Netflix also, because it has interrupted the way that we watch movies in the theater. But Netflix is the reality of today. And HBO and AMC theaters have to calibrate to that reality, just like Dean Dairy needed to calibrate to the reality of 20 varieties of milk instead of two. So why is the rabbi standing in front of all of you, offering a class on sociology, marketing, and economics this Shabbat? Well, I'm doing it not because I'm so passionate about Netflix or the dairy industry, but because I think what's happening at Dean Dairy and what's happening with Netflix is emblematic of what's happening in the Jewish world. So allow me and indulge me for a moment to explain and to illustrate. Today, in the United States of America, depending on how we count, but just assume that I'm counting in one particular way, there are about 7 million Jews living in America, depending on how we count who is a Jew. In 1960, which was 60 years ago, there were 6 million Jews in America. So a net growth of, let's say, about 1 million, give or take. There are all types of ways and angles of looking at this number, but assuming that is our growth, most would say it's great. I would say it's fantastic, because the fact indeed that we did grow 1 million over these 60 years is good, but in any other group, it's grown much higher. In 1960, 3% of the American population was Jewish. Today, 2.1% of the American population identifies as Jews. So basically, when looking at these numbers on a spreadsheet, we would say these numbers are pretty static. 60 years ago were 6 million, today we're 7 million, 3%, 2%, not talking about milk, talking about population. We're basically in a similar place. But here is where things change. You see, in 1960, there were 3 rabbinical schools in North America. In 1960, the UJA Federation and the Federated System of the United States of America was responsible for raising 85% of the Jewish fundraising that happened in the United States of America. In 1960, there were 2 main addresses to where one could express who they were as a Jew. One was the synagogue, which indeed was the center of Jewish life, and then its ancillary artery was the Jewish Community Center. These 2 organizations were not only the heart and soul, but they were the entire body of what the Jewish community looked like in any town, USA. Whether it's here in Bergen County, whether it's in Chicago or Dallas or LA or Miami. When it came to Israel awareness, there were 3 organizations. There was the UJA, there was the Jewish National Fund, which was all about planting trees and the blue tzedakah boxes that were in all of our kitchens, and there was Israel Bonds, which was an investment to help support this fledgling Jewish state. We know also that many Jews from beforehand were not admitted to particular schools or clubs or hospitals, and we had to start our own schools and clubs and hospitals as a result. Now here's one more statistic. In 1960, the entire UJA system of America raised $70 million for the year. Now, that was a lot of money 60 years ago. And if you did the math, it's equal to $588 million today. More than $500 million. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of fundraising, something to be very proud of in that day. Last year, the entire federated system for support in America, throughout all of these Jewish organizations, last year, 60 years later, raised close to $300 million. A significant drop. Now, most of you might say, oh my goodness, we dropped that in half. Oh no, woe to us. This is the end of the Jewish people as we know it. But I actually think it's quite good news. And here's why. The reason is that in 1960, 85% of the fundraising that happened in the Jewish world happened through the Federation system. Today, it's probably less than 20%. Meaning that if you're raising half that amount of money still, there is more money pouring into the Jewish community than ever before through fundraising. It means that there are organizations that didn't exist before that are fundraising as well. It means that Jews as a whole were probably giving the equivalent of what is today $750 million in fundraising. And today we're probably giving well over $1 billion to Jewish causes. And that's reason to be happy and to celebrate. But there's a problem. The problem is that today we have many, many, many more options than just a UJA, a JCC, and a synagogue. You see, we were a lot like Dean Derry. We were very centralized. We were very focused. We had two or three options. And today, we have 20, 30, 40, or even 50 options in the Jewish world, and our numbers are pretty similar. From 6 million Jews in 1960 to 7 million Jews in 2020, we're talking about the same pool of milk drinkers. So I want to share with you, and it's a little exhaustive, but it's important for the exercise, some of the organizations that are on my radar that I get called about on any particular day that we are supportive of in dinners and programs, activities, and speakers. And just on my radar, locally, we have our JCC, we have the JCRC, we have the Solomon Schechter School, the Jewish Family and Child Services, the Rockley Home, JAD, and CSS, Community Security Services. We also have Israel-related organizations with offices here in our community, like JNF, Israel Bonds, FIDF, AJC, JNF, Hillel International, ADL, JTS, JFNA, the Conference of Presidents, and I'm just naming a few. If you want to do help with people who are not typical learners, you have Matan, you have the Schusterman Foundation, you have Shutaf. In the conservative movement, we have United Synagogue of Conservative Judaism, Masorti, the Rabbinical Assembly, Women's League, Torah Fund, Ramah Camps, the Conservative Yeshiva, the Fuchsberg Center, the Hanaton Center, the Schechter Institute, Seminario Rabbinico, and United Synagogue Youth, just to name a few. A couple of my top organizations in Israel, just for the hungry, include Pantry Packers and Meir Panim, and it was Chazon Yeshaya. We also have organizations like Our Truth, Trua, Shovrim Ashtika, NORPAC, J Street, APAC, Encounter, RHR, which stands for Rabbis for Human Rights. We have Kol El Chabad, Our Soldiers Speak, Peace of Mind of Soldiers, Focus Project, Zionists, Amit, ORT, Crossroads, IAC, Israel Ed, Birthright, World Jewish Congress, Emunah, Palestinian Media Watch, United Hatzalah, Disabled Israeli War Veterans, Stand With Us, JCPA. For continuing education, there's Hartman, Pardes, JTS, University of Judaism, HUC, Gratz College, and Hebrew College. How did I pick these? I'm not done, by the way. I picked these by taking 2 days on my email server and going through emails I receive in a 48-hour period. 2 days. Not 2 weeks, not 2 months, not 2 years. 2 days. Now, there are other Jewish organizations that are very important, like the Joint Distribution Community that's helping communities in Warsaw and Krakow, like the JCC of Krakow or the JCC of Warsaw, the Louder School. And then there's places like Innovation Africa that's taking Israeli technology with water and helping the Africans drink. This is great stuff. But here's the problem. That exhaustive list that I just read to you is not exhaustive. I promise you that if you were paying attention and you are somewhat engaged in the Jewish community, you, in your mind, flag 3 or 4 organizations I didn't even mention. And I bet when I ask you what those 3 or 4 are, they're different for each of you. Which means that as I see it, the problem that we have is that we have more going on in the Jewish world than we ever did before. In essence, we have become the victims of our own success. And I am just talking for a moment about the Jewish world. Don't forget, 60 years ago, a Jew could never have their name on the board at Lincoln Center. They couldn't be a member of the leadership of Lincoln Center or so many other like organizations and performing arts centers. And today, in a great moment of pride, every major hospital has names of Jewish leaders on it. There are senators and congresspeople and those that are helping supporting them that are Jewish in nature and supporting Israel, meaning we not only are focused on the Jewish community, but we have civic roles that we have opportunities to give to. And it is very important that there are Jewish names on hospitals and universities and performing arts centers. It is very important that we celebrate that moment of arrival and not become shtetlized and insular. That's a critical thing for all of us. But the reality is that here we are, 60 years later, the victims of our own success, with 25 different kinds of milk, and the same amount of milk drinkers. And that's a problem for us. So what do we do? How do we deal with that strain? Well, I'm going to suggest three radical ideas. And I believe they're quite radical because they topple the system. And they topple the system in a way that all the systems have to swallow a little bit of pride and ego, but have to think about the greater cause. Because if we don't, we could have the same fate as Dean Derry. So here's the first thing that we have to do. One, we have to consolidate. There are so many Jewish organizations today that are fulfilling redundant work. The global AJC, the JFNA, the Conference of Presidents, what these three organizations are doing are fantastic, but none of them are working in such a way in any particular silo that their work is not as inherently redundant because of it. Meaning that the leadership of these three organizations are supporting energy and resources, time, money, to make sure that they succeed, and there is so much of a concentric part of the circle and the work in which they are doing. That needs to change. So that's on the macro level, and that's just one example of hundreds. But on the micro level, in our movement, it works just the same. Do we really need multiple rabbinical schools in our movement today? Do we really need so many day schools in this community? Every 2 years on the average, the Jewish Standard will print on its cover page a new Jewish day school that opens up in Bergen County. But here's the reality. The new Jewish day school that opens up in Bergen County is pulling from a group that is already subscribing to Jewish day school. It is not a group that is otherwise not engaged in Jewish studies or that would go to another private school that's not Jewish. It's like pulling out dairy drinkers to drink oat milk. It's the same pool of people. The second radical idea that we have to think about is to start to share resources. There are buildings that are sitting empty for far too much time that could be shared in a resource. There are supplies, including teachers, that can be overlapped and shared as a resource. There is healthcare systems that if we were consolidated in communities and towns, we could bring down costs by sharing and consolidating. There are synagogues that are teaching the same curriculum in nurseries and in religious schools that could share resources. Cutting edge communities like in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Austin, Texas have built Jewish center campuses where all three synagogue denominations, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, share a campus, share a nursery school, share a playground, share basketball courts, share a swimming pool, and they pray separately. Think about the value to the community, the statement it makes, and the resources that are saved through that process. Here's one more radical and crazy idea inspired by Yehuda Kurtzer. What if instead of us spending 1 to 2 days a week from the months of March through June going to organizational dinners, that we took over the Javits Center and we had one huge dinner, an enormous dinner, one night of chicken. And then there'd be breakout rooms throughout this Javits Center. And if you were a supporter of United Hatzalah, or you were a supporter of JNF, or you were a supporter of AIPAC, or you were a supporter of FIDF, you go into your breakout room, you hear your speaker, you do your fundraising pitch, and everyone shares dessert. Think about how much overhead would be saved in the process of doing that. Think about how much time would be saved for us to spend with our family and our friends. Think about what it says to the greater Jewish community. Now, in some ways, it feels like by doing that, we come back to a place where we weren't as dynamic as we are today, and it would be succumbing to our wounds. But what I worry about is us succumbing to our success. That could be a significant challenge for all of us. When Jacob put his head on the very rock that Gabe spoke about, Jacob was able to pause and to rethink his entire strategy. And from that moment, he was able to map out parts of his life for the better and address the challenges that were facing him. This is a moment in our Jewish world where if we don't see those challenges and turn them into opportunities, if we don't get creative and dynamic, we could be faced with a similar fate, and we cannot afford that price of bankruptcy for our Jewish people. I'll close with an interesting thought that Russell Robinson shared from Jewish National Fund. He said in 1972, Life magazine predicted that in the year 2000, there would be 2 million Jews in America. Life magazine predicted in 1972 there'd be 2 million Jews in America. Here we are in the year 2020, 7 million Jews in America, and Life magazine is out of business. That is a testament to our strength. But let us also be determined to our dynamism, to our elasticity, to our agility, and to our ability to prepare for the realities of what our Jewish world looks like today and tomorrow. Let us realize that while we are a blessing of 7 million, we are the same pool of milk drinkers, and it's time for us to get in front of the process because we can't afford to be behind it. I want to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. We continue on page 184. Please rise for the Chatzi Kaddish. I got it.
Yitgadal ve'yitkadash shemei rava ba'almati fachrutei fiyamlich malchutei becha ayechon uv yomechon uv chayei dechol beit Yisrael